SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, too, stevebick.com. And yesterday, some interesting racing at the three ovals. And then an unbelievable set of pills were pulled at Oaklawn for Saturday. And if you haven't looked ahead yet, well, you're in for a treat, because the Apple Blossom, the grade one, and of course the traditional racing festival of the South is a little bit elongated given the circumstances with Arkansas Derby and fantasy and everything, you know, everything spread out here, which is fine. All it does is enhance these weekends and, you know, really gives everybody an opportunity to focus on, you know, some stake races. There are some stakes coming up at Gulfstream. They're adding a couple of 3-year old, you know, $75,000 types. But I mean, these are the prime spring season and hot springs, and the Apple Blossom did not disappoint. 14, a field of 14. Yeah. For the $600,000 grade one, and candidates are spread throughout. And I will obviously, you know, tomorrow for the most part, dig in. But it's hard to envision that Serengeti Empress will have as I don't want to say easy a time, but won't have as much, you know, or you know, less resistance than she saw, you know, in the Azari. And you know, Cookie Dough right inside of her. That's not gonna help. And you know, then to the outside, go Google yourself for Paul McGee and Samantha Single, and how important would this opportunity be? A grade one for Samantha, for a homebred, an Into Mischief, you know, mare that has already banked $600,000, 7 for 19 in her career. Michael McCarthy sends Bo Hirsch's homebred CC, the Beholder Mile winner, already obviously a grade one winner, and in prime form, you know, she's drawn all the way outside. So Victor Espinoza going to have a tough decision. So there's some speeds drawn outside. Baltus brings back Horologist off the one turn mile at Laurel. And you know, she generally, you know, even when John Massa had her, generally would be in the race flow. But I mean, everywhere you look, there's horses that at least want to be, you know, sort of involved. And you got a couple of deep closers like Point of Honor and Cold Water. Then there's the horses that are going to try to sit an interesting trip behind the speed. And from that standpoint, you know, we'll see what Sophie Doyle does with Street Band, who, of course, came up yesterday. A lot of people enjoyed the Mitch Poole visit yesterday, the baseball special. And we really enjoyed having him. But, you know, maybe Espinoza can drop in before the turn. You know, this is a mile and a 16th, so not a lot of time to, you know, to find a slot. But CC a candidate to maybe, you know, maybe sit sixth. if she can find a place. Very, very good. I didn't even mention Ollie's Candy for the Egrets. And, Emma, Dallas Stewart, who's, I was there when Mr. Fipke won, actually. In fact, Mr. Fipke was standing right behind me that day. Queen Nekia in here, too, coming out of the Royal Delta, where she and Cookie Dough and Golden Award were all within a length of each other. This is dynamite. And there's also Sarah Cosa, who's making a second start, the veteran mayor, Bernardini mayor that was with Brendan Walsh and now with Cipriano Contreras, was third in the Azari. It's just unbelievable, head-turning. You're going to have to look at this I don't know how many times to figure out, you know, how much, you know, how many of the pace players you want to keep involved, how many, you know, the mid-pack and deep closer, we'll see. And, of course, one thing I haven't done is check the weather yet. It's been very difficult to get a decent day at Oaklawn in recent weeks, a decent Saturday. The other big graded stake, of course, the Count Fleet, and this drew 11. And plenty of pace in here if you're looking for a closer. You're looking for, I don't know, Nitrous or Hog Creek Hustle, you know, to come marauding late. Some interesting players beside those that you expected, like Whitmore, of course, that was targeting this. Hidden Scroll coming out of that 6-furlong romp in the return and, you know, feels live in here and tactical. It doesn't, you know, he was on the lead, but do you think he has to have it? I don't know if that's the way he wants to approach this. Valerie Lund brings, you know, the hard-hitting Mr. Jägermeister, Al Stahl, who was with us on Monday. Al, you know, talked about Bobby's Wicked One, who's, you know, got a pair of wire-to-wire open-length wins. Miguel Mena comes to town with Bobby's Wicked One in this spot. Lexingtonian, who we came to have plenty of affection for after that stunning upset in the Chick Lang at Pimlico for Jack Sisterson. Flagstaff, you know, coming off the San Carlos win with, he's got Rosario, draws the two and could save ground. I mean, this is really going to be fun. Share the upside for Hillendale, their homebred McLean's Music, who's, you know, continued to rack up placements. Didn't really fire in the Hot Springs, you know, chasing the pace, but he certainly attended hot paces before and finished. So maybe he snaps back for John Sakura and the team and so on. I mean, really fun. Wendell Fong for our man Al Gold and Maya Engelhart. And, you know, Jeremiah's had a bunch of solid seconds. He's won four races at the meet, 34 starts. 7 seconds, though, and it feels like you know, he's a pendulum swing away from, you know, another two or three wins. So, in addition to the Count Fleet and the Apple Blossom, there's a couple of allowances: the 7th and the 9th as part of the Pick 5 and/or Pick 4, and it closes out with a very nice quality straight 50 claimer with a lot of good horses, a lot of good, you know, grade three and money allowance and starter allowance type runners, including Spike Shurl and Kurilov. Remember Kurilov? It feels like, remember when he came to North America, it feels like he's seven. So I guess he has been around for, you know, for a long time. Anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun, I think, going into Saturday when we dig into these cards. And we'll have more than one Oaklawn guest. I'm sure Nick will also look at the sequence, but probably Nancy Holtis going to join us. And we'll look hard. I'm sure Ed and James will dive in, so you'll get plenty of looks. A couple of other things, obviously, to talk about, including two passings. Before we talk about the results from yesterday, including the according to Twitter, the 400-1 shot that they won at Tampa. Before we get to that, very sad. A colic episode took senior swinger, who has won three straight Maryland Timber championships for Joe Davies and Irv Crawford. And, I mean, arguably, is this outrageous to say the best son of domestic dispute? Might be. I mean, might be, you know, the most accomplished. But, you know, we talked to Joe Davies last year after, I mean, I think this was the conversation where we talked about the retiring of the trophy for the Maryland Hunt Cup. And if you didn't see, I tweeted yesterday Joe Clancy's piece. This was really too bad. This was a courageous horse that overcame a few number of issues and you know, became a star. And so very, very sad. And I sent out a note to Joe Davies, colic. I mean, it's such a random, you know, it sometimes, you know, no matter what you try, it can get them. So very, very tough. Senior senator. I think I said swinger, senior senator, gone. Will not get it. And wasn't going to get a chance anyway. His chance to win a fourth Hunt Cup was derailed, you know, by circumstances anyway. So it was going to have to wait until next year. But hearts go out to everybody. You know, he was the horse that was featured in that was the CBS, you know, got a lot of notoriety for, frankly, for timber racing and for, you know, just for the whole chase scene in general. Very sad. The other passing, and we will have at least one visitor and maybe more, a name that you literally have seen forever, it seems, in PPs, Milt Wolfson, at the age of 87. Died in Fort Lauderdale yesterday. And, you know, Milt Wolfson had, you know, always a limited number of horses that he looked after. And he just won at a consistent basis, you know, for decades. And we've got calls out to several Calder barn habitus that were very close to Milt Wolfson. Yeah, Milt Wolfson had tons of friends, and he was just a, you know, a quiet, gentlemanly, considerate horseman. I mean, just be hard pressed to find anybody that's got a bad word to say about Milt Wolfson. And, you know, the big horses that he had, two long associations as a trainer with both Says Who, and of course the Judge Says who was a multiple graded stake winner, and Stride Right. And, you know, the Stride Right, you know, team had extended success, and they, you know, they bred and they also bought. And I was going to call them the Frolic Sisters, and there were the two sisters, was it Lindsay's Frolic And, well, there was Lindsay's Frolic, Summer Frolic, Frolic's Revenge. There were like a half a dozen of them. And they were all, not all, but a lot of them were stake winners. And Fabulous Frolic, Lindsay Frolic, and so forth. Stormy Frolic, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Fabulous, I think Fabulous and Stormy were sisters. And then they produced runners and more Frolics out of the other Frolics. He also Bernie the Maestro. Very tough. Stanley Gold, Bill Kaplan, and others have been requested because Milt Wolfson wasn't somebody I think a lot of people knew well, but he was just a institution in South Florida, originally from Philadelphia. And if you saw the obit, Air Force veteran, University of Illinois, Bachelor of Science degree, then later a master's from Temple. And he had the tack business, the Chamonix Turf Supply, in Florida and in the Mid-Atlantic. Lovely guy. And survived by his wife, Catherine, and the three daughters, Barry, Ellen, and Rona. Four grandchildren. His first wife, Gail, predeceased. The funeral will be at Beth David in Hollywood. It's private, and donations, the Israel Guide Dog Center for the Blind. Very nice. Very nice if you want to remember Milt Wolfson. But we'll hear from either Eddie Plesa, Bill Kaplan, Stan Gold, Mike Lakow. I mean, there's so many people that had long associations with Milt. Looking quickly at yesterday, you know, Seth was seemed like he was on his way to that pick four. And in that seventh race, how about the 88-1 shot? Unbelievable. I'll make you famous. A congrats gelding for Miles Heinen and Heinen Racing. Yeah. With Alameda in the irons. Unbelievable. Otherwise, it was a very formful day, pretty much at all three ovals, other than the $180 horse. The pick fives yesterday, quick pick five survey at Will Rogers. And I think we are going to talk to Scott Young today. We missed him yesterday because we had the conversation with John Leese. But yesterday, $118,000 in the pick four. And it was chalky, 163.80. You needed Broberg yesterday, who I think won four. And at Foner, how about another big handle day in the pick five? It carried over is now 272,000. They brought in 207,000 yesterday, and it paid just under $450. We're going to talk to Dick Powell and Tony and Scott Young, and more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation?
It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural pace used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Listos.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down.
We're back at the races a little bit past 20 into hour one on this Thursday. Dick Powell's going to join us. We'll do a little international coverage. And, of course, yesterday, quite a few people, I think, with the morning session at Happy Valley. And as we bring Dick in, I do want to mention from yesterday at Fawner, and I gave you the pool size and everything, but I do want to mention the stake winner because there was the Dowd Mile, the $15,000 Dowd Mile, and Marissa Black, who actually ran 1-2 in here And it was the other Marissa Black. And people talk about that, you know, throughout that section of the Midwest. The other, you know, there's the other Baffert. There's the other Chad Brown. Now there's the other Marissa Black, paid $12.20, Blue Harbor. And I, you know, for those that have been, I told you yesterday about, reminded you about, or Tuesday, about, you know, the free Thorograph sheets. And, you know, for those that are Thorograph player service members, and it doesn't cost you anything, you just join and you get Monday, Tuesday sheets free. This was Wednesday, but I got to tell you, from a FIG standpoint, Blue Harbor absolutely was one of the ones in here. And, you know, from the outside, got a very nice ride from Armando Martinez. And this is actually a horse that, you know, seems on paper to be a little bit, you know, Rockport Harbor seems a little bit more like a turf horse, but, you know, his races on the main have been okay, and he was a fit. So you got $12 to close out the sequence yesterday, and I mentioned Broberg, who was tough to beat yesterday. I think four. Did he win four total, I think, yesterday at Will Rogers? We'll talk to Scott Young, who's, I think, chasing. I think he's sitting second in the trainer standings, and we're going to get a little bit more understanding about Will Rogers, which seems, as John talked about, and Marcus Hirsch, seems like it plays, you know, really very fair. I mean, if you want to come from off the pace, if you're the best horse on the lead, the horses, that doesn't seem like, you know, it seems neutral on the bias front. Dick Powell, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Nice chilly morning here in the Northeast.
We had snow. We had a dusting of snow. We woke up to it.
A little bit. Yeah, we had frozen windshields and about an inch of snow. And
crazy.
I don't know. Calendar says otherwise. But
well, we've lived. Let's be honest. We've lived in these parts long enough. I've spent several different iterations. Living in New York and upstate New York and Montreal, and we've seen it as late as June. There's been the occasional, you know, morning when you know, when it dipped down at the 30-ish and we got a dusting. So yeah, nothing surprises.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, and did anything surprise you Saturday at Chatin or yesterday at Happy Valley? And I got to tell you, Dick, seemed like a lot of people were enjoying yesterday morning's action at Happy Valley.
Yeah, the timing is right. There's that and Swedish racing on at the same time. There's no British jump race, no British flat racing yet. So Happy Valley has a nice little spot. When they run nine races, the morning extends to, I don't know, 10:45 and 11 o'clock. So that's even if you don't make the early race at 7:30, that's a lot of racing in the morning. A little bit different, Happy Valley, a little bit than Chatin, a little more chaos in terms of winning favorites and things like that. So I like Happy Valley as far as picking. Of course, it gives you a chance of sneaking someone home with the shorter stretch and the tighter turns, and or can get lucky where in Chatin, even if you run a lights up race, that last 100 yards is just tough to hold off the cavalry. So Chatin tends to be much more formful, Happy Valley less so, and Happy Valley is consistently 25% percentage winning favorites. Been like that all meet, and I don't expect it to change. Now they do run 12, so you would think favorite percentage might be a little high compared to Shot 10, which runs 14. But the highlights, yes, it was Zach Purton winning 3, and Joe Marrero getting shut out. So Zach is now one behind Joe, 101-100 in their riding standings after 62 race car. So we've hit the kind of water pole here as far as the meet goes. And those two are just going to just battle right down to the water. So that's fun to watch. Here's the thing. A week from Sunday are the three big international races. The QE Cup, going a mile and a quarter, the Champions Mile, and then the Chairman's Sprint Prize, all group ones. Don't know what kind of international participation they're going to have with all the issues going on in the world.
Yeah.
But those are three major races coming up. So this Sunday at Sha Tin, they're only running five turf races, and they're running five on the all-weather because they want to keep the, you know, they want to keep the turf as fresh as they can. So the rail is pretty far out. And then I'm sure the following Sunday on the 26th, the rail will be down. Nice, lush turf that hasn't been chewed up at all for the stake races that night. So they're heading in that direction. So we have five all-weather races coming up here on Sunday. And the all-weather track is kind of similar to the Happy Valley track in the sense that it's obviously smaller. It's inside the turf track. I'll just give you the numbers. The field size, 12.43, great. Average win percentage, average win price, $25.12, which is very low. And the win percentage is 26.87, which is very low. So what they're showing you is that on the all-weather, you can get a little bit more chaos. And then when you look at the trainers and the jockeys, because the form guide splits everything out for you, Joe Moreira has 15 wins on the all-weather. Karis Teton, 9. Zach Purton, 6. So that difference that Joe has, 9 on the all-weather, only equates to one overall. So his advantage really has been the all-weather track. Now, they've only run 67 all-weather track races this year, but Joe's won 15 of them, and Zach hasn't. Trainers, man for man, has 8. Francis Louis has 7. Danny Shum, 6. Doug White, who's usually a bigger force on all-weather, though, but he has 5. So those are kind of more spread out. So the 5 all-weather races, you could get a variance in weather that, unless they get just horrible weather, that turf course doesn't vary a whole lot. You know, occasionally you see good to firm. Usually it's good. Occasionally you see good to soft. I think we had a 1 half day where it's good to yielding. So you don't get that. But on the all weather, you will. If it does get wet, it'll stay wet for a while. So you'll see wet slow, stuff like that. So got 5 on the old weather, 5 on the turf for this Sunday morning, which should have a post time of, let me check, I think 1 a.m. No, 12:45 a.m. East Coast time, 9:45 p.m. Saturday Pacific Coast time. So they got that coming up. I've worked on a bunch of products, which I will send you, by the numbers, class. The class stuff is interesting because class 5, which is the lowest rated horses on the grounds, they're 0 to 40, 68 races, 10 winning favorites, 14.71 percentage of winning favorites in these bottom level races, and an average win price of $24. If you're looking for a price, let's go to class 5. And usually they start out, if they're going to have a class 5, it's usually right up early in the card. And but those races just, they're kind of a crapshoot. You got some horses just, they're just never going to develop. Some of them move up to class 4, not that many. And class 4 is very populous. There's been 231 Class 4 races run already this year out of 573. And remember, during the meet, they were saying they were going to have to run extra races because they had so many horses eligible for Class 4. And part of that is horses who are making their Hong Kong debut get weighted at either 52 or 57 pounds points, depending on where they're bred. So there's a lot of Class 4 races, but they tend to be pretty formful, where the Class 5s, the lower rung, that's where the action is as far as the boxcar payouts.
Well, and that's, you know, that's what you gotta, what you're looking to sniff out and you know, building your approach around.
Yeah, I think it provides the context of what you're looking at. So when you see a race like that, and occasionally you get a horse that stick out, just for some odd reason, drop down to Class 5 and won't be there very long. But for the most part, their horse is 20, 25, 30 rated. They're probably not going anywhere. And also, when you recognize with Hong Kong, the age of the horses, that you have this big three-year-old named Etero, who ran poorly in the sprint a couple weeks ago. But he's blazing fast and very, very good. But then you have the four-year-old season. And they culminated with Golden 60s sweep of the 3 4-year-old races, including the Hong Kong Derby. Most of the horses are 5, 6, and 7-year-old geldings, so you don't have the big form jumps that you normally would get from 2 to 3 and 3 to 4. You don't have those horses on the grounds. So 90-something percent of the races you're looking at are older geldings that are racing in classes that they've proven they belong in those classes based on their performances. They're not there because they want to be there. They're there because that's where they're rated, and that's where they have to race. So from a betting standpoint, you get maybe a 19-pound swing in race, 133, maybe down to 114. So that kind of levels the playing field. And you don't have horses jumping up and running way over their heads, or horses, you know, dropping way, way down in class. That doesn't happen. You are who you are. So the races then tend to be very competitive, and then when you watch the races, you see so many blanket finishes. You know, yeah, it was yesterday, the last race was just fabulous. The finish was just tremendous. And you get that a lot because, like the Carter Handicap with the triple bet heat, you know, the goal of handicap racing is to have them all finish like
sure,
that.
Sure, that's right.
And we see it a lot in Hong Kong. You'll see 6 horses, 7 horses within 2 lengths of each other at the wire. So as a handicapper, you have to pay attention to video to make sure that your horse just didn't get, you know, thrown into the crowd and finish closer than they actually should have. Over here in our race, in a blanket finish can oftentimes be a sign of a weak race, where over there it's just par, it's just normal, it happens almost every race. So, nice card coming up Saturday, and then the following Saturday, big card. Probably their last big race day. They have some other, the Cheddar Cup and things like that coming up.
Some isolated, yeah.
Yeah, but this April 26th is kind of the end of the major stake. Not stake races, but stakes days where they bunch them on the same. So this is coming up with 3 Group 1 races, 6 furlongs, 8 furlongs, 10 furlongs. And I read that Golden 60 probably isn't going to go. At first there was some chatter about the 4-year-old Golden 60 taking on the older horses, and I don't think he's going to do that. I think they're going to rest him, give him the summer off, and get him back for the big races next year.
Yeah,
I'll give you a quick one, Steve. In
sure.
Australia, when you look at the actual conditions of the Melbourne Cup, if you're a 4-year-old, you actually get a kilogram from the older horses. That they recognize that the 5-year-olds are the mature horses. The 4-year-olds are still, you know, going 2 miles in handicap conditions. That they're still not quite there. So they even have a weight concession for 4-year-olds, knowing how mature and physically dominant the 5 and ups are. So It's just a fact.
A kilo, but it's not a tremendous amount. I mean, to be honest, right? 2.26, yep. and it doesn't feel like, you know, well, 2 pounds is 2 pounds, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like a significant weight break.
It's not, but at 2 miles, it might be.
Yeah.
If you had a jock that kept showing up for your race 2.5 pounds over the assigned weight all the time, you might start getting a little annoying.
There you go. And speaking of which, have you? Yeah.
I was going to say when I first went over to Saudi Arabia, and we were kind of shaping and molding the vision for the races, I had an idea that I hate to say it because it'll get stolen, but I wanted to give the fillies 3 kilos, 7 pounds, because I don't have a race for the fillies. But if I can give them that kind of weight concession, and we've seen what that kind of weight concession does in the Arc de Triomphe with the record of 3-year-old fillies in the Arc, it's just spectacular, that might be the incentive. So Midnight Bisou went, she was going to go anyway, and she probably doesn't even need 7 pounds to run against the boys. But it was just something, my thing was, you know, why not be different? You know, it's time of the year. You might not have top fillies in training now. You might be able to get them. You might be able to get them and plan on going to the race, maybe coming back, maybe being bred in April or May, stuff, you know, stuff like that. So I was bullish on giving the fillies, instead of 5 pounds, giving them 7 pounds.
Hmm. Well, there you go. That's real weight. That's real weight.
Yeah.
Dick, I appreciate it. And we also, I think Steve Anderson tomorrow is going to talk a little bit about the Australian action. Santa Ana Lane trying to break Steve wrote about him, trying to break a rare losing streak for him. He's lost 6 straight and too many seconds. So we'll do a little Australia with Steve tomorrow, and we'll look forward to the weekend. Shot Tin, plenty of information, HKJC, and at DRF too, analysis and selections, and Steve Anderson's been doing lots of write-ups, plus Dick's looks, and stay healthy, Dick. Things are static at home. Did we lose Dick? I guess we lost Dick. All right. Well, all right. Dick, thank you. We'll take a break. And when we come back, Bill Kaplan is going to join us and pay tribute to Milt Wolfson. Back after this.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Step on side to side. Body's gently moving. I let myself fly these times. Dance for miles and miles. Crowd's been slow.
We're back at the races, about 15 minutes to the top of the hour. Scott Young is going to join us from Oklahoma in a little bit, and Tony Black coming up as well, Rich Eng, and much, much more. Right now, we're going to pay tribute to Milt Wolfson, and even under these circumstances, to be able to bring Bill Kaplan back to At the Races. Bill, now retired, pretty much did everything that a horseman could want to do, including winning Breeders' Cup races, musical romance, of course, in the Filly and Mare Sprint, and so much more. Bill, first of all, it's great to talk to you, and I hope everything is okay, and you're staying safe and healthy.
Yeah, Steve, I'm fine. I'm locked in like everyone else right now. And, tough time to talk about the great man, Milt Wolfson, who everyone will miss.
Much like you and Stan Gold and Eddie Plisa, I mean, there were so many South Florida year-round horsemen before we think of, the current incantation of year-round racing in Florida. And Milt was one of those people that just, never had too many horses, but just had consistent success.
Yeah, actually, Milt is the original, because he actually raced in South Florida back when they had the original Tropical Park. So he was the senior South Florida horseman for many, many years now. And he did an unbelievable job. He was probably the best leg man that I've ever witnessed, and he was phenomenal. He was fantastic to me, too. He was a true friend to all horsemen. I remember when I started in this business, we're talking 40 years ago, 35 years ago in Florida, and I remember Milton was the first trainer to have a computer and under the old DOS system, and he set up a billing system for me and actually bought a computer for me, and I mean, on my behalf, and set the paper. I didn't even know how to turn a damn thing on. So he was fantastic in a lot of ways, and he was always on the tip of technology for horses, even in his later years, because he would find the latest things to help legs and, machinery and lasers and all this other stuff, and
clue me into it. I was friends with him, not only on the racetrack, but personal friends. In fact, for the last, oh, maybe 10 years, just about every Monday I had dinner with him. And Kathy now, his wife, Kathy Davies, is taking over the racing operation for him.
Of course, you know, three daughters and lots of grandchildren. You know, he had, you know, consistent clients, and you know, for obviously Stride Right, you know, was the name that, I mean, I just saw for years and years and years, and all those frolics that they came up with.
Yeah, especially like Lindsay Frolic. I remember her well because Musical Romance ran against her a couple
sure.
times. And she beat me a couple times, and Musical Romance beat her. But he had a lot of great horses. The Judge Says Who is another one that comes to mind. And but him as a person was unique. He was so helpful to anyone who wanted help from him. Even in his last years, he'd be going to the racetrack in a wheelchair. And trainers would come up to him and ask him questions on the apron. And he was just a wonderful, wonderful human being. And Kathy Davy, who knew him from many, many years ago, as they both taught in the same school. And then she went to work for him in the NTS, which is the Chemin Turf Supply. He also had a turf
yep.
supply business back then. And he also was a farm manager, and he'd done every aspect of the game. He's truly old school, hands-on horseman. And now Kathy Davies taken over him. They became together 13 years ago, and now she married. They got married last year, and then now she's taken over. And believe me, she's learned from the best, because she was working with him now for the last, I think, 10 years or more as assistant trainer to him, and will take over his training now. She's well-schooled, and she was a wonderful thing for Milt Wolfson, because Milt was sick about 10 years ago and had some heart surgery, and he looked really bad, and we didn't think he was going to make it back then. But then when he got together with Kathy, I think she prolonged his life at least 5 years. So my heart goes out to her. Mm-hmm.
Bill, well, and I, you know, that community of horsemen, and when you talk about his generosity and you know, his really generous spirit, you know, Calder in its heyday, and because people that have come to the game in recent years, they really can't imagine, you know, what a wonderful facility it was, and what a great community of top horsemen it basically housed.
Yes, Calder was a unique place because they had horses that ran there. If you ran for 25,000 in Calder, you could run for 50,000 anywhere else. So Calder, because of the humidity down here, because of the track they had, which was a you know, it had a cushion on the bottom that was not normal, not useful, not the normal thing. So horses really got fit down here. And Milt was an expert at claiming down here and moving them up. I mean, he was one of the best successful claiming trainers I ever knew, because he was so good with horse injuries and horses that had problems with their legs. And he could take a horse, claim him for 10,000, move him up to allowance in a very short amount of time. A great, great trainer, and a great human being, and not only a great human being, but he just wanted to help any trainer that came to him, and he had knowledge that was amazing. He helped me dramatically. He was actually my mentor when I started out in South Florida, and he was a unique friend to me.
Bill, that's been a uniform, you know, response, how much everybody is going to miss him. And I think nationally, you know, because he was so central to South Florida, as opposed to being, you know, one of the horsemen that came for the winter and then returned to the Northeast, and which is something, I mean, at the beginning, he certainly had that option. Do you know what brought him to Florida year-round exactly?
Let me think. I'm trying to remember why. He was originally up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And He came in, I think he ran here in the wintertime, back when Tropical was here in Hialeah. And I think he just liked the weather, and he decided to. He also had NTS's, Neshaminy Turf Supply.
Right.
And he had that originally in Pennsylvania. Then he opened it up here in South Florida when he decided to move down here. So he was not only a horseman and trainer, but he sold turf supplies to everybody. And that's another thing he did for everybody. You know, if there was a good product that came in that was a supplement or something like that, he would tell you. And he would tell the horseman, this is the real stuff. And if it was a bad product, he'd tell the horseman, you know, I don't know if I'm even going to carry this anymore. So he helped horsemen in so many ways down here.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that's amazing when you look at his record, he obviously was somebody who only wanted enough horses, as many horses, Bill, as he could put his hands on a day.
No doubt about it. There wasn't a horse that he didn't put his hands on every single day, every morning, until he got in a wheelchair where he couldn't bend down. Then he had Kathy Davey doing it for him. And he just was an amazing horseman as far as legs go. I can't get over that. He was just, if I had a problem with a horse leg, the first one I would call it Milt. And he had so much experience over his, 50 years training horses, 60 years. So he's seen just about everything.
The assistants and people that came up under him, is there anybody that comes to mind that worked for him and went out on their own?
I'm trying to think. The first one, that's the most important one, is Kathy Davey. She was a horseman in her own right back probably 35 years ago, 40 years ago, he jumped on horses. But they got together after a long hiatus and 13 years ago, and she's been now working under him for the last 13 years, actually, with him, and actually been running the show for the last 3 years since he got in the wheelchair and couldn't get out to the track as much as he wanted to under Milt's tutelage. So she's the primary one. I'm trying to think. I know a lot of jockeys that he helped went on to do well. One of them is Juan Leyva, who I also helped, that went on to
big time.
And now he's assistant trainer for Sadler out in the West Coast, and
yes, he
doing
is
very, very well.
That's
he's going to be one that Milt helped a lot. In fact, I know he stopped by Milt's barn every morning to chat with him. So he's one of the stick out in my mind. I'm trying to think about assistant trainers. You know, he has such a small operation that he never had an assistant trainer working for him until Kathy at the time. Because he only had 10 horses, so to have 8 or 10 horses,
amazing.
Groups, a couple of hoppers. But he always had runners, and he always got the best out of horses that you can imagine. He was one of a kind, and again, the most thing that sticks out to me is just how generous he was to other trainers. You know, when you're training horses, you don't try to help other trainers because you're competing against them.
Sure.
But he was different. Even if the horse was in a race against them and they had a problem, they'd feel free to ask him because he'd tell them, you know, if there's a problem. So we're going to miss his expertise, and I'm not going to miss it. I'm out of the business now, but they're going to miss his expertise, and I'm going to miss my Monday night dinners, but maybe I'll keep it going with Kathy Davey.
Nice. Bill Kaplan is with us to remember Milt Wolfson, who we lost yesterday at the age of 87, and, there are certain, South Florida institutions, and Milt is certainly one of them. And, you know, you talk about wives, taking over or picking up the lion's share. Same thing really with David Kasson, right? With his operation. Same scenario. Bill, for you, talk about the time away. We talked after you retired and you'd had such a strong run through the middle part of the last 10 years. What's keeping you busy? You're flying a lot. Your aeronautic interests.
Well, of course not now. I'm not doing anything, but before the virus problem, I was flying a lot, but it wasn't real airplanes. I got into radio-controlled airplanes.
Oh, fun.
By then, and played golf 4 days a week and hung around and didn't do too much. I mean, it's a relaxing time for me, and I'm happy in retirement. Of course, this is a very tough time right now because of family members to close into their homes, and hopefully we can get through this.
Well, I you know, wanted to make sure that we appropriately honored Milt Wolfson. I reached out to you and Stan Gold, and Mike Welch will be with us tomorrow, and Michael, I'm sure, have some words. But I knew how, you know, from a couple of different sources that, you know, you had really been close, and I can't thank you enough for this, Bill. And at some point, we'll all be back out and going to the racetrack, and we hope we'll get a chance to see you soon.
Thank you very much, Steve, for this tribute to Milt. He really deserves it.
Bill Kaplan, everybody, who we also miss from the track, and his string of success, particularly with Musical Romance, but, you know, also, you know, Cotty's Phaeton and East Hall, the good 3-year-old, one of my favorites with Bill. But, of course, the Breeders' Cup highlight, the 2011 filly and mare sprint. And Bill Kaplan was one of the people who made the Presque Isle Masters what it is, because he took that avenue to the Breeders' Cup sprint. He took Musical Romance to Presque Isle, won that, and then, you know, it became a regular thing. We'll take a break here, top of the hour. Scott Young is going to join us from Claremont. We're going to go to the Tulsa suburbs and to talk about Will Rogers a little bit more. Of course, we had to have John Leese yesterday. I was going to have Scott as our Will Rogers conversation. But then when the Pick 5 thing went a little kablooey, we had John Leese. But I promised Scott a visit, and you know, I've seen him win races for years, too, and he trains for Clark Brewster. Speaking of Tulsa, celebrity attorney, Scott Young joins us next. Tony Black in a little bit as well. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing 2-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at UA.